to thee. No, son and daughter, before I drew my first breath, what did thy only son before I drew my first breath? What lay birth to secure my Lord, my soul from thee? There is a word in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, that I must at least outline for our hearing today. Mark, chapter 8. Verses 1 through 10. It is a rather familiar text for some. It says, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, He broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. That's where I want to end. And I want to lift for our thinking today and on next Sunday, lessons from the feeding of the 4,000. Lessons from the feeding of the 4,000. Here we see our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, in the midst of a great crowd of people. They've come to hear the great teacher. They've come to see, will the miracle worker do any miracles for them? They want to know what's the latest from this young, charismatic leader. It's in this context that Jesus feeds this great host because of his compassion for the crowd. Now, somebody knows that earlier Jesus had fed 5,000. This is a second occasion of him feeding 4,000. This compassion of Jesus caught my attention. And then the following of his leadership caught my attention. Did you notice that Jesus did not give fish and bread to any of the people? He gave the fish and bread to his disciples, and his disciples gave the fish and the bread to the people. And as people just followed the plan, the end result was there was more than enough. And that's where I want to hang my hat for today, and we'll talk about this more than enough matter. And I want to talk about these men, these 4,000 men. I think we ought to pause and talk about these men. And I think you ought to pay attention to the fact that as marvelous as the ministry was, Jesus moved on to the next area. But that's next week's sermon. Today I just want to look at this matter of compassion and following leadership. I'm convinced God still has compassion. But I'm also convinced that the path to us having more than enough is we got to learn how to follow leadership. When you don't follow leadership, a schoolboy's lunch is barely enough for a schoolboy. But when you can follow leadership, the Lord can stretch a schoolboy's lunch that it would be more than enough. And so then we should work on compassion and following leadership. Compassion. First of all, don't ignore the crowd. There's a crowd of people here. How in the world did 4,000 men, not to mention their wives and their children, how did this huge crowd gather? This sanctuary seats roughly 1,200 people if you just put somebody in every seat. So you would have to fill this place up 4 or 5 times in order for you to see this crowd of 4,000 men, not including women and children. How in the world did all these people gather around Jesus? I think the answer is found in Mark chapter 2, The book says that they noised that Jesus was in the house. People went and told people what God was doing. Wasn't nobody talking about Peter, James, and John. They was talking about how God is doing great things through this prophet from Nazareth. And I say to us Southern that when we look around at empty seats, you ought not think that this is evidence that God cannot meet our needs. It is more evidence that we are not doing the witnessing that God is calling us to do. God is still able to fix whatever is broke. He's still able to make smooth whatever is rough in our lives. But the question becomes, who do we tell about what God is doing on this sacred plot of ground? Do we spend more time talking about the preacher or the deacons or the choir or the usher? How much time do we spend inviting and bringing people to Jesus? This crowd ought not be ignored. And then notice what happens in the crowd. It was a place of teaching and helping. Jesus had been teaching for 3 long days. Knowing Jesus, he had performed miracles and had responded to some needs of people in the crowd. And I say to us, as those who claim to be a Jesus crowd, that when we gather, there ought to be some teaching and helping going on. Now, when you look at the style of teaching of Jesus, you would discover that he oftentimes used parables. He was not a professor of systematic theology. He was not a professor of Greek or Hebrew. He was not even a professor of homiletics, preaching. He talked so that farmers could understand. A farmer went out and sowed seed, and some of the seed fell on rocky soil, and some fell among thorns. To the fisher, he said, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus, our master teacher, never lost the common touch. And I say to us who've been called to preach, I say to us who've been called to teach, I say to us, all of us who've been called to witness to people, that we must make sure we never lose the common touch. Sometimes we can be too sophisticated for our own good. If people don't understand what we're talking about, we're wasting our breath. Jesus taught so that people would understand how to live by the will of God. He says to those who have ears to hear, let them hear the word of the Lord. Jesus' teaching style was not just a distribution of information. It was an urging of application. That's why James says that we ought to be doers of the word and not just informed hearers of the word. Are y'all listening to me? And then Jesus helped people. He didn't just put information in their head, but he says to the withered man, stretch out your hand. He feeds the hungry. He provides for the naked. He was concerned about meeting the needs of people. And I say to us who claim to be Christians that we ought to do the best we can to make Southern a teaching, helping center for Jesus. The word ought to be that if you want to know about God's word, go up to Southern. They always got a class on something. The word ought to be that those people are always trying to create new ministries and nurture ministry. They got something for the men. They got something for the women. They got something for the singles. They try to help with every child succeed. They try to help with the drop-in center. What a marvelous testimony of us living in the spirit of our Christ. Now, in order for us to have such a reputation, it means that we must move from being spectators to being trained, discipled, participants. All of those words are important. We must move from being a spectator, and my God, a critical spectator, to being a trained, discipled participant. Now, it is true that some people have a ministry of help, and every leader needs a helper. If your ministry is that of help, then you ought to be helping somebody. You don't help anybody by just being a pew member. Help somebody. But the Lord is calling somebody to be a teacher, to be a leader, to use the influence you've gathered over the years to follow up and encourage others to live at a maximum instead of a minimum. As we dream about the ministries that we would like to have, we are confronted with the reality. You can't start a ministry if you don't have somebody to run the ministry. And we've learned that no matter what a person looks like, if they don't love Jesus, they're not going to do a sustained, excellent job of managing ministry. You gotta love Jesus enough to keep doing the work until you can say it is finished. If this is nothing but volunteer activity, something you do with your spare time, as soon as the breeze blows a little bit, you want to throw in the towel. If you come because you need some more status in your life, you want to run something, make you feel like the man, make you feel like the woman, well, this servant leadership stuff, it'll bust your bubble. Because you can give your best in service, and those you sacrifice for barely say thank you. But when you realize you didn't do it for the people, you did it as your service unto the Lord, you can keep on keeping on. You need trained, discipled participants so that the church can be a teaching, helping center. But then I also noticed that Jesus had compassion for those in the crowd. And you know, this text was so familiar to me until I almost missed this point. He had compassion for those in the crowd. I heard, because I thought I was just making up something to preach about, so I had to open my mind and say, boy, can you prove your thought? I said, I think so. Jesus said, John 3:16, that God so loved the world. He loves everybody. But he said, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has a general concern for everybody, but he has a special concern for those who respond and gather in the crowd. I said, well, that's nice, but can you go anywhere else? I said, I think so. I remember in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 10, there was a banquet. And the master had extended an invitation for the A-list to come. You know, they was busy and couldn't do anything. And so he went to the B-list and said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. And the master, who had all of this banquet food, only fed those who came to the banquet. Are y'all listening to me? He had enough for people who didn't show, but he only gave it to those who came to the banquet. So then I came back to my text and said, I think I got some ground to stand on. There are some privileges for being a member of the Jesus crowd. He fed the 4,000, but I want you to know there was a whole lot more people in the region than 4,000. What made the 4,000 special was they were in the crowd trying to learn how to live for Jesus. And I think somebody ought to hear me today. You ought to get yourself into a Jesus crowd. Now, I know the crowd can be distracting because the crowd is made of sinners. Is that right? You come to the Jesus crowd thinking you're going to be in the midst of a bunch of Jesus-loving Christians, bunch of praying folk, and you come in here and you find out that we cuss just like the folk you left at the club last night. And you can be distracted. But listen, let me tell you what you ought to do. Just like you can go to Kroger's and come out with a whole basket full of groceries, even though you got thieving cashiers, lazy stock boys, unruly managers, but you got you a whole basket of groceries out of Kroger's. Just like you can go to the hospital and come out with your surgery well performed, even though there's obese nurse, unkind people at the registration desk, greedy doctors at the top, all kinds of unfair practices, but you done went in there and got your hip replaced anyhow, because you went in focused on the right thing, got what you came to get, and gone with your stuff. If you can come to the Jesus crowd and keep your mind focused on Jesus, you can leave with a fish sandwich. But when you come up in here and get distracted by the choir and get distracted by the ushers and get distracted by folk who are as hypocritical as you are, that's how you know they are hypocrite.
Watch out now.
You can leave here hungry and you could have had a fish sandwich. You better get yourself in a Jesus crowd. And if Jesus is in the crowd, it doesn't matter who else is in the crowd. If you can get yourself in a Jesus crowd and keep your mind on Jesus, you'll be surprised how God can give you more than enough to satisfy what you are hungry for. And then I had to tell you that we are the body of Christ. So when we're looking at what Jesus did, he's instructing us on what we ought to do. For we are now the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet of Christ. And the text teaches us in 1 Corinthians 13 that it does not matter what we do if our heart is not right. It's nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 says that I can give my body to be burnt, but if I don't have love, if I don't have charitable love, if I don't have agape love, if I don't have a love that gives and expects nothing in return, it profits me nothing. Teaching and helping are behavioral, but compassion is an attitudinal situation. Your attitude got to be right. You can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and mess up the right thing you did. Jesus didn't just feed them, but he fed them with compassion. Do you have any compassion? Is there any love in what you do?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can sing on key with a terrible attitude. You can preach and impress folk with your intellect and your ability to articulate, but if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. You can be a marvelous usher. You know all of the maneuvers. You can get people to the seat real quick. But if you don't have love, it profits us nothing. When we see Jesus move with compassion, it is not here just as an irrelevant note. The Lord is trying to tell us something, that we as the body of Christ ought to be known for our compassion. Pastor Cecil Farrell will say we ought to be famous for our love. All that we do ought to be saturated in love. I got to move on, but I wanted to make sure you heard me say we ought to witness for our Lord. We ought to make sure that our church is a place of teaching and helping people. I trust you heard me say you need to get yourself in a Jesus crowd, and the best way to leave with a fish sandwich is to keep your mind on Jesus. Right. And don't be getting distracted by all these other folk that's in the crowd. And then let's make this a compassionate, loving crowd for Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes. It's not enough to just be a singing crowd. Got to be a loving crowd. It's not enough to be a smart crowd. You got to be a loving crowd. It's not even enough to be a giving crowd. You got to be a loving crowd. Uh-huh. Let me close up here on this matter of following leadership. I noticed as I looked at this text that the way the people received more than enough was that there was the following of leadership. Jesus told the people, over 4,000 men, to sit down. And the most amazing thing happened. They just sat down. And then Jesus took the fish and took the bread and gave it to the disciples. Told the disciples, go and put this before the people. And the most amazing thing happened. The disciples took the fish, took the bread, and put it before the people. What made it even more spectacular is that the disciples obviously did not understand what Jesus was doing. If it was up to the disciples, they would have scattered the crowd because they said, we don't have enough to feed all of these people. But even though they did not understand, they followed leadership. And because they followed God's plan, the text ends with people having more than enough. And so then I wanted to come back and share with you, because I know we got our minds on the fish sandwich. I know we want to shout about having more than enough, but you can't skip over how did you get more than enough. The fish sandwich didn't just drop down out of heaven into their hands. They had to follow leadership. And so I had to come and tell you that God is still using sinful people to be leaders. I know we want them to be holy. I know we want them to be above reproach. But the Lord keep on using sinners. Abraham was a sinner. Isaac was a sinner. Jacob was a sinner. Saul was a sinner. David was a sinner. Solomon was a sinner. Paul was a sinner. Timothy was a sinner. Titus was a sinner. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God, our hope is not in people, but our hope is in God's use of people. It's a big difference between putting your confidence in people and putting your confidence in God's use of people. As you read the Bible, it becomes clear that God specializes in taking clay pots. He don't use porcelain too much. He takes clay pots and he puts precious stuff in clay pots, so that when the last paragraph is read, nobody gets the glory except the Lord. You see, if you use porcelain pots, we would think you would have to be a porcelain pot in order for God to do great things with you. But when you see what God can do with nothing but ordinary, dirty clay, it inspires ordinary people to put themselves in the hands of the Lord. Well, notice, would you please, that the matter of following leadership means you gotta have some good helpers. It was not just Jesus and the people, but it was Jesus, his disciples, and the people. It does not matter how great the leader is. If you don't have some helpers, it's gonna be mighty hard to lead the people. We must stop this foolishness of having a general and 1,000 privates. We need some more sergeants and lieutenants and captains and colonels. We need folk who can step up and carry out the duty of office. Now, notice that sometimes you will not understand what the leader is doing. The disciples did not think that they had enough food, but they were willing to follow leadership. They were willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure they already had their mouth set to tell the Lord, I told you we did not have enough fish. I'm sure they already had their mouth set to tell the Lord, I told you we did not have enough bread. I'm sure Peter was ready to tell the Lord, I told you we should have let the people go back home. But even without understanding, they followed leadership. And I say to every officer here that if we are going to have more than enough, we've got to learn how to follow leadership. Yeah, I thought I would lift this because I hear all of the belly aching about why we gotta go through all of this training. If you could ever hear how you sound, you would stop saying what you are saying. Have you ever stopped to think how you gotta go to college for 4 long years to teach a first grader how to add and how to subtract? You gotta have a 4-year degree to teach a first grader the cat in the hat. Did you hear me? You gotta have a 4-year degree to teach a first grader first grade curriculum. You ought to be embarrassed to complain about needing 4 courses to teach the word of the Lord. Did you hear me? People came into our space and spent weeks learning how to be a census worker. Now the census worker is gonna knock on the door and talk to a grown person about how to answer 10 questions. And in order to be trained to get an adult to answer 10 questions. They had to go through days of training. And you think you gonna pop up and manage ministry in the house of the Lord and don't know nothing about the word of the Lord. People have to be trained how to be a poll worker. You can't just walk up and say, I want to be an election poll worker. You got to be trained how to teach grown folk how to fill in the blank so your vote can be cast. You got to be trained to teach grown folk how to look through a book that's in alphabetical order and find your name and sign your own name. And you think you could come into kingdom business not knowing what to do. It's sad. I wondered if we were there, would the people have ever been fed? If we were there, somebody would have said, wait a minute, we've never did it this way before. Somebody else would have said, wait a minute, we gotta have a meeting, we gotta send out a committee, I gotta check the Robert's Rules of Order to see can we do it like this. It's amazing, I tell you, that Jesus told the disciples to put it before the people, and the disciples took what God gave them and gave it to the people. Did you hear me? I'm running out of time, but Lord have mercy. Please let me tell you this. The people had to follow leadership. They had to understand the fish that comes from the hand of Peter were put in his hand from the hand of the leader. Did you hear me? The people had to get in their mind that the leader is not gonna walk around and give 4,000 men fish and bread one by one. The people had to learn the leader has delegated authority. And if you want to eat, you better line up behind somebody who got some fish and some bread. I want you to know somebody else can pray. Somebody else can answer. Somebody else can think. Yes, my Lord. Let me give you a preview. I can't preach this part. But if we line up with God's plan, God still has more than enough. Did you hear me? Just like they ate until satisfied and had more at the end than when they started. God still has more than enough to meet our needs. God bless y'all. I gotta close. Let me tell you, we got some help. We got some help. It's not just us all by ourselves. When it gets hard to have compassion, we got some help. When it gets hard to follow leadership, we got some help. His name is Jesus. Anybody ever heard about my Lord. I know it's Mother's Day, but I got to tell you, all of my help comes from the Lord. Yes, my Lord. I'm so thankful that I have fond memories of my grandmother. That Thursday night when I was at the altar, Mother White and Mother Young were praying for me. What I may not have told you is that Mother Young was my grandmother. My grandmama prayed for me on the night that I got saved. Thank you, grandmama, for praying for your grandson. But all of my help comes from the Lord. I remember, y'all, that my mama would pray for me. I remember, y'all, I'm not making it up. This is not a pretty story to fill in the hoop. I remember my mama praying for me, tears shaking hands under her chin. I remember her praying late in the midnight hour, but still all of my help comes from the Lord. I used to think my help came from my mama. I used to think my help came from my big mama. But what I've learned is the Lord gave mama some help, and mama gave me the help that Jesus gave her. Big mama got help from the Lord and passed it on to me. Death came and took my big mama, but the Lord still took care of her and take care of me. I've been around too long. I've been watching old man Death. Death comes and get everybody. Don't matter what you do, Death is gonna get you. Change your diet, Death is gonna get you. Do all your walking, Death will come and get you. I got enough sense to know that one of these days, Death will come and take my mama. But listen, let me tell you, when Death come get my mama, my mama will be all right, because she'll be in the hands of the Lord. But if all of my help was in my mama, you would bury my help 6 feet in the ground. But I'm glad all of my help comes from the Lord. So when my mama and my daddy leave me alone, then the Lord will take me up. Ain't God all right? All of my help, all of my help, all of my help is in the Lord. Is it anybody here that got their help in the Lord? I think I better warn you, the things of this world are sinking sand. You can't count on nothing. Your money is funny. You can't count on your money. You can't count on your loved ones. The people who will give you the shirt off their back gotta lay down and die one day is sinking sand. I don't care how strong you feel today. Keep having birthdays and time will tie a knot in your back. You can't count on your help, but I'm glad we can put our hope, we can put our confidence in the hand of the man from Galilee. If you're in trouble, if you're in sin, he will set you free. Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you tried him? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I dare you help me. Just call his name. Jesus. 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 Ain't he all right? Hallelujah. 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 Ain't he all right? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. All of my help comes from the Lord. He will see us through. He has more than enough.
That's right.
If we line up with his word, more than enough. You are anxious about the little stuff in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord has what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever you ask or think. More than enough.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
If we line up with his will. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day to come on over on the Lord's side. If you're here and know you need to come, come now.